Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Sara, Malka Bat Allegra, Dorit Bat Sara, and Shifra Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Daniel Neinkin, Lunita Adler, Helen Friedman, Harav Binyamin Kahana, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Harab Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Dennis Shor, Ben Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. This program this week is going to be about the incredible danger that we face, where there will be no turning back. America's reaching a tipping point, and there'll be no turning back if Joe Biden and Kamala Harris win this election. As you know, we are not fans of Donald Trump. We supported Ted Cruz. And we don't like a lot of what Donald Trump has done because we don't think he's a real conservative. He's not really a right-winger and he's betrayed principles. But, the danger of a victory by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris is so great that we have no choice. We have no choice but to get out and vote for Donald Trump and support Donald Trump for re-election. We just have no alternative here. And the issue we're going to be dealing with as an example of that is the fact that Joe Biden, as president, with a Democrat Congress and a Democrat Senate, can confer statehood to Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. can become the 51st state, Puerto Rico can become the 52nd state, or the other way around. But we'll have two new states. Instead of 50 states, we'll have 52 states. And that would be enough to permanently create a Democrat majority in both houses of Congress and in the Electoral College, which elect presidents. Here's what would happen. If, God forbid, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are elected president and they make Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. states, we would have four new U.S. senators, because there are two U.S. senators from every state. Right, you have two. Let me give you a little bit of a history lesson for those of you who are for our affirmative action viewers. There are 100 U.S. senators now because there are 50 states. 50 times 2 is 100. So you have 100 U.S. senators. If we had two new states, that means four new U.S. senators. So instead of 100 senators, we'd have 104 senators. And because the Senate is usually almost evenly split between Democrats and Republicans the way things work out now, an extra four guaranteed left-wing Democrat senators would mean that the Democrats would almost certainly have control of the Senate, probably on a permanent basis. Four guaranteed, because Puerto Rico, Washington, D.C., just to give you an example of how they vote, Washington, D.C. voted for Hillary Clinton over Donald Trump in 2016 with, I think, 92% of the vote. Hillary got 92%, something like 92 or 93% in Washington, D.C. Barack Hussein Obama also got over 90%. So there's no question that the two senators from Washington, D.C. and from Puerto Rico will be Democrat senators. Puerto Ricans, by the way, when they come to the United States to vote, the Puerto Ricans who come to New York and Florida and elsewhere, 85-90% vote Democrat, more than other Latinos. Puerto Ricans are the most left-wing Latino group in the United States, far more than Mexicans, far more than other Latino groups. They vote overwhelmingly Democrat. For instance, in the Bronx, in the South Bronx, which is overwhelmingly Puerto Rican, again, I'll give you the example of the 2016 presidential election. Hillary Clinton, I think, if I'm not mistaken, got 93% of the vote in the Bronx. So, Puerto Rico, Washington, D.C., over 90% Democrat. That means four U.S. senators that will be left-wing Democrats, added to whatever the Democrats currently get in the Senate. So that would mean that it would be very, very hard for Republicans to ever get a majority in the Senate again. It would be very, very difficult. And you would have five new left-wing House members. You know, the House is often split pretty closely between Democrats and Republicans. You'd have five new House members. There are 435 members of the House. And you'd have five new House members that automatically will be left-wing, far-left Democrats. Again, helping the Democrats in the Senate and in the House. And in the Electoral College, which is how we really elect a president in the United States, Donald Trump lost the popular vote to Hillary Clinton by millions of votes in 2016, but won the Electoral College. In the Electoral College, you would have, I don't know how many more electoral votes, 6 or 7 or 8 more electoral votes for the Democrats. And again, in the very, very close elections that we have, that would make it very, very hard for a Republican to ever win the presidency again. So we're talking about creating a permanent Democrat majority in the Senate, in the House, and in the Electoral College, giving the Democrats solid control over the White House, the House, and the Senate. And if you add that to their plan to pack the Supreme Court, what is pack the Supreme Court? There are now 9 justices on the U.S. Supreme Court, which is something that has existed in the United States of almost since the beginning of the Republic. 9 justices on the U.S. Supreme Court. But if you have a simple majority in both houses of Congress and the president signing it, you can say, we're going to appoint more judges to the Supreme Court. We don't think 9 is enough. And so let's say they appoint 5 or 6 more judges, all left-wing Democrats, to the Supreme Court. They'd have solid control and overwhelming majority in the Supreme Court, and automatically every Supreme Court ruling would be in their favor. So you see the radical transitions that a Supreme Court majority can create in this country. You saw what they did with marriages for homosexuals. I mean, just insane. They found a constitutional right for homosexuals to get married. Even though that was, the founding fathers would turn over in their graves. What, the people who wrote the Constitution would turn over in their graves if they saw that. What constitutional right is there for this? This is insanity. Aside from the fact that it will bring God's punishment upon the United States, no doubt about that. But you saw what they did with the homosexual marriage issue. You saw what they did with Roe v. Wade. In Roe v. Wade, they ordered every state to permit unlimited, unrestricted abortion on demand, right up until the point of birth. A mother in all 50 states can murder her baby right up until the 9th month of pregnancy. That's the law, and you're not allowed to pass any law restricting that. That is Roe v. Wade. That is the rulings of those are the rulings of the Supreme Court majority. So this is the type of judicial tyranny. 9 judges have made these decisions for the whole American people and have transformed America into Sodom and Gomorrah. Can you imagine what would happen if Joe Biden and Kamala Harris pack the court with 5 or 6 more left-wing Supreme Court judges? Can you imagine what the rulings will be like then? They'll rule that the Second Amendment has nothing to do with your right to bear arms and that the government can come and seize all of your weapons. They will rule that freedom of speech doesn't apply to so-called hate speech. What does hate speech mean? Anybody who's not a leftist, politically correct leftist. They'll make rulings that will turn this country into the Soviet Union. Eventually, it'll go down the path of Soviet Union if we have this type of thing. If you look at New York and California, where you have permanent Democrat majorities, those are the models. New York and California are states now with permanent Democrat majorities. Republicans have no chance. No real Republican, and certainly no real conservative, has any chance of winning in New York or in California now. There is an overwhelming left-wing majority in both of those states. And look at the way those states are turning into third world banana republics. California, which in the 1980s when Ronald Reagan was governor, or when Ronald Reagan was president in the 70s when he was governor, California was like paradise. It was like paradise. The most beautiful landscape, the most beautiful beaches, the most beautiful dry, warm climate. It never rains in Southern California. I mean, just beautiful. That's why Hollywood moved out there. Hollywood moved out there because of the beautiful weather, because it was good for filmmaking. And this place, which had been like paradise on earth, has turned into a living hell, with huge numbers of homeless people moving onto people's private property, taking over cities. I mean, it's unbelievable what's going on out there. Defunding police. Los Angeles is defunding their police department, partially at least. Violent crime is rising like crazy. Taxes are going through the roof. People can't afford to buy a home or live there. People can't afford to live there anymore. An ordinary person who makes an ordinary working class salary cannot afford to live in California anymore. If you're not a bum on welfare, collecting food stamps and getting free rent and getting everything free from the taxpayers, or a billionaire, or a multimillionaire, you can't live in California. You can't afford it. And who the hell would want to live there with the conditions that are being created now? I mean, it's an unbelievable nightmare. Labor unions taking over. California was never a union state. Now it's becoming a union state. So the labor union mobs, the mob bosses that control the labor unions, are creating massive pension fund debt and massive debt. The taxpayers are in debt up to their necks. And no matter how much they tax the people in California, the citizens of California, they can never get enough out of them. They can never bleed them enough in order to pay all the bills. That's California. And that is what all of America will be transformed into. Texas, right now, still has a narrow conservative majority. We're gonna find out on November 3rd if that's still true. But it would seem to still have a narrow conservative majority, Texas. Even though it is majority non-white. Non-white, third world people are now the majority of the population in Texas. The only reason majority of voters are still conservative, and that is in question already, but the only reason why there seems to be a strong conservative vote in California is because some of the non-whites, many of the non-whites from Latin America, for instance, are not citizens, so they can't vote. But the state is majority non-white already, the state of Texas. So you know Texas is going to follow the path of California eventually. Right now, Texas has no income tax. Texas still has more normal laws and more normal life than other states. But that's beginning to change too. And so if the entire United States was under the rule of a Biden-Harris administration with a Supreme Court which had an overwhelming left-wing Democrat majority on the court. In other words, everybody was like that beast, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Yimach Shma v'zecher Hashem Reshaim Yirkav, may the name of the wicked rot. If that was the Supreme Court, and you had a Democrat majority in the House, Democrat majority in the Senate, and the Squad, and AOC, and the Kamala Harris-type Democrats, they were running both houses of Congress, and Schmuck Schumer, and Nancy Pelosi, and they're running the Congress, and senile Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and her self-hating Jew husband from San Francisco are running the White House. This is going to be one hell of a nightmare country to live in. It's going to be a nightmare. And just to show you what this can lead to, of course, they're going to open up the borders. And the end result will be you open up the borders and the Supreme Court will probably rule that you're not allowed to do anything to illegal aliens. The Supreme Court will probably legalize the illegal aliens. Joe Biden will sign an executive order ordering that they're all legal, and the Congress will pass it, the House, Democrat Senate will pass it. Joe Biden will sign it, and he'll also issue executive orders and abolishing ICE or making ICE something that it isn't, that has no power, taking all power away from ICE. And the Supreme Court will say, yes, this is true because the illegal aliens have a constitutional right to come here. It's the only humane thing to do to let everybody come into the United States. A survey was just taken in the Arab world, which shows a majority of Arab youth are making serious plans to leave the Arab world and try to get to the United States or Europe. A majority of them, and a lot of them would like to get into Israel as well. In other words, into Western modern countries. A majority of Arab youth. You know what that is? There are hundreds of millions of them. Hundreds of millions. waiting to come to the United States, waiting to come to Europe. I'm not dealing with Europe right now, I'm dealing with the United States. Europe is not my concern right now. But here in the United States, we're at a tipping point right now. Do you know the United States is now already, the United States is now 60% white Anglo. White Anglo means white non-Hispanic whites. 60%, okay? It was 86 or 87% when I was a little kid. 86 or 87%. I'm going to be 64 years old. And when I was a kid, like about 60 years ago, it was 86, 87%. Now it's 60%. But it's about to tip in the direction of a majority non-white country very fast. And that'll mean the United States becomes like Brazil, like other countries with non-white majorities, a third world banana republic. And that means all of America becomes like California. All of America becomes like New York City. All of America becomes like LA and New York City and Chicago and DC and Detroit. All of America will be like that. You'll have a majority imposing their rule upon all 50 states, upon the whole country. And if anyone doesn't comply, they'll send in federal troops and they'll put people in prison and they'll close down their businesses and they'll deny them permits and create a situation where the American people will have no choice but to comply unless they want a civil war. And the American people are not going to... American people, let me tell you something. People don't fight a civil war unless they're starving to death. As long as they have a roof over their heads, and most Americans do, the only people that are homeless basically are alcoholics and drug addicts who use every last penny they have to buy dope or to buy liquor. But generally speaking, there is no reason for anyone to be homeless in this country with all the resources this country spends on giving people housing, including free housing at the expense of the taxpayers. And so as long as Americans have a roof over their head and a car to drive and air conditioning in the summer and heat in the winter and their stupid sports games where they watch black athletes, black rapist athletes throwing a ball through a hoop and get their thrill over that, get their jollies off watching some black giraffe throw a ball through a hoop who has an IQ of 10. As long as they have that, that's enough. That's enough. They're not going to start a civil war. They're not going to risk being killed or going to prison. That isn't going to happen. Anyone who thinks it's going to happen is living in a fantasy world. And so the United States is about to be lost. The United States is at a tipping point. Now, my main issue, of course, is Israel. I'm a Jew, and I'm fighting for Israel. And that's the most important issue for Jews and for righteous Gentiles, because that's the issue that decides the future of the world and decides when Ge'ulah, when redemption finally comes in its full form. Redemption already started in 1948 when the Jews returned to Israel. We were in the beginning of the era of the redemption, but the final redemption has not yet come. We want to complete the final redemption, which will lead to many great things. It'll be a completely different world when the final redemption comes. That depends upon Israel and what happens with Israel. If you get these Jew-hating, left-wing Nazis who run the news media, who run the whole Democrat Party, who run a great deal of the Republican Party, because the Republican establishment, they don't want Israel. They hate Israel because Israel is the land of the Bible, and they don't want they want the Bible to be defeated. They want to show the Bible's nonsense. They'd love to see the Jews destroyed. Then they could say, "Oh, you see, look at the stupid fantasies, all the legends of the Jews, and they believed that they were going back to the land. And look what winds up happening to people who believe in that." They want Israel defeated, and that's one of the main reasons. And they want their friends, the Muslims, their Islamic allies, to win, because they make a lot of money dealing with Muslim countries. That's why they're always promoting Islam. That's why you can knock Judaism, you can knock Christianity from here to from here to Guam. You can knock them and say anything you want about Judaism and Christianity and stomp on it and spit on it and do anything you want. But if you say one bad thing about Islam, that's the end for you. They go crazy. Islamophobe. Islam, these are people who are atheists, and yet they defend, and that they religiously defend Islam. Why? It's just sick beyond words. But between the Muslim world and the third world and the establishment people that really run this country and the news media, you give them full, complete, unfettered control of a packed Supreme Court. You increase the number of justices on that court from 9 to 12 or 15, as Franklin Delano Roosevelt proposed doing in his day in the 1930s. Fortunately, at that time, there were enough people to resist, and it never happened. But you pack the Supreme Court with hand-picked left-wing, extreme-left judges, and put an automatic Democrat majority, left-wing Democrat majority on the Supreme Court. And have automatic Democrat majorities in the House and the Senate and in the White House. That's it. That's it. It will become, programs like this will become illegal. They'll stomp us out. They'll stomp out free speech. They'll stomp out dissent. This will be there'll be no more dissent allowed. And that will happen. And yes, you will see a vicious anti-Semitism like you've never seen before. People say there's anti-Semitism on the right. And first of all, there's no anti-Semitism on the right because Nazis are leftists. National socialism. Nazism is socialism. It's left-wing. Nazis are leftists. The Nazis, the Klan, who are also Nazis, and all these other groups, they're leftists. And by the way, how disappointed I was to see Jews who are on our forum defending a Nazi group like Proud Boys, whose founder openly said that he identifies with the Nazis and denies the Holocaust and called Jews every name under the sun and made a video sounding just like Adolf Hitler. And you have Jews coming on saying, oh, he was being satirical. Oh, give me a break. You've got to be kidding me. I mean, this is unbelievable. On our forum? What are you joking? You're associated with, do you understand what Nazism means? You understand what they would do to you and every other Jew and everyone in your family? And you're defending an organization that is full of these people and that marches with them openly? And Jason Kessler, who was a member of the Proud Boys, organized the Charlottesville Nazi march where they were openly chanting Nazi chants and had swastikas and marching with swastikas and chanting openly, the Jews will not dominate us. The Jews will not dominate us. The type of thing you'd see in Nazi Germany in the 1930s. You saw that in Charlottesville. Jason Kessler, who organized it, was a member of the Proud Boys. I mean, you associate with an organization like that? And then they make, because they're scared. They're scared if they're accused of being Nazis or Klan or whatever. They're scared that something bad might happen to them. So some of their they had one chapter who came out and right away they start associating with blacks and saying, we have nothing against black, we're not white supremacists. It wasn't the white supremacist stuff that should concern you. What should concern you is the anti-Semitism. And there's no doubt that is an organization filled with the worst anti-Semites, the worst Nazis. So we have people like that. And you'll have the Jews caught in the middle between people like that on the one side, and then the majority, they'll be in the minority. Because the majority are going to be this new third world majority that's taking over the United States. And look at the young people in America. Look at the polls, and look at how they voted in the last elections. Did you know over 60% of young people voted for Barack Hussein Obama in both of his victory elections when he was elected twice. Did you know that 4 years ago, Hillary Clinton overwhelmingly won the youth vote? Donald Trump won from voters my age. Okay, I'm in my 60s. Donald Trump won from senior citizens like me. That's how he got elected. They're going to die out. Young people who are the future of the country are overwhelmingly left-wing Democrat, and Trump has not only not changed that during the time he's been president, not only has he not turned that situation around, it's gotten worse during his presidency. It's gotten worse. He has not convinced young people to support him, because I don't want to start going into the problems with Donald Trump that are endless. Ronald Reagan, when he was president, over 60% of young people became conservative, identified themselves as conservatives in polls. Reagan did better among the younger the voters, the better Reagan did in the elections. More younger voters were, the more Republican they were in the 1980s. That's what Reagan created, because young people saw Jimmy Carter's failures as president, and then Ronald Reagan comes in and saves and rescues the country and rescues the economy and turns the situation around and makes Americans proud again. Young people immediately identify with Ronald Reagan, and he was getting two-thirds of the youth vote, Ronald Reagan. Two-thirds of young Americans were voting for Ronald Reagan. Check the statistics. Ted Cruz would have done the same thing. They would have seen a president who's effective, who works, who's a strong leader, who's brilliant, who doesn't say, I'm going to inject chlorine into your veins in order to cure yourself of the coronavirus, like this genius in the White House said. Donald Trump said he's a stable genius. Ted Cruz is a real genius. Donald Trump is not a genius. He's not stable. He's not even a billionaire. And young people are turned off by this. And they're being brainwashed day and night by the left-wing media and Hollywood and everybody else. And constant brainwashing, constant black, 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 black. Everything is black. You have to support, black is the only thing. You have to support Black Lives Matter and black this and black and racism and all these other things that they're, homophobia and all these other crazy things that they're sticking in young people's heads. Endless brainwashing. We needed a president who could answer that effectively, intelligently, with facts and information and truth and credibility. And that's what you still need in this country. It's the only chance the country has. Well, despite all of his faults, we have to support Donald Trump, because the alternative is so terrible, so terrible. You just look at Iran. Kamala Harris and Joe Biden want to go back to giving tens of billions of dollars to Iran to help them build nuclear bombs. Can you imagine what that will do in the Middle East and throughout the world? And that, that is their policy. That was Obama's policy. That's their policy. That is the policy of the Democrat Party, supporting Islamic terrorism. Yes, supporting Islamic terrorism, supporting Islamic nuclear terrorism. That, in effect, is what their policy is. Islamic terrorists and Islamic dictators and Islamic mass murderers have no better friends than Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and the Democrat Party and the self-hating Jews in the Democrat Party. The Islamic terrorists would love to slaughter all the Jews. They hate the Jews. And the Jews are so happy to help them. These self-hating, sick Jews, always defending. Schmuck Schumer holds a press conference with Muslims, crying. He starts crying, tears in his eyes, because he said not enough of them can get into the United States. The same Schmuck Schumer that supported Franklin Delano Roosevelt and all the Democrats that kept 6 million Jews out of the United States during the Holocaust, that was okay. The Jews who really do contribute and really are the geniuses of the world, that Schumer never fights for his own brothers and sisters, never. And by the way, I wouldn't have wanted the Jews to come to the United States, I would have wanted them in Israel. But Schmuck Schumer, that low-life rat who looks like a rat, who has a face of a rat, Schmuck Schumer, you know that he and all the other rats, self-hating Judenrat, Kapo rats, they would have been the first one to turn Jews in to the Nazis. That is what they did during the Holocaust. And by the way, if you criticize George Soros, the ultimate Jewish Nazi, he is a Jewish Nazi. When he was a teenager, he helped the Nazis during the Holocaust, work with them and help them. And he said it was the best time of his life. And is a Jewish Nazi who is doing everything possible, funding every group to undermine Israel, to hurt Israel's struggle to survive, and hurt the Jewish people, and fight for all of Israel's enemies. And if you say one bad thing about George Soros, even on Fox News, then you're accused of anti-Semitism. You can call for Israel's destruction. You can say anything you want about the Jews and Judaism and the Torah, and work with those who want to exterminate the Jewish people. That's not anti-Semitism, no. Then how dare you? Why, criticism of Israel is automatically anti-Semitism? You're not allowed to criticize Israel or disagree with Israel's policy? All of a sudden, this is not criticism of Israel. This is an attempt. These people want to destroy Israel. They want Israel to commit national suicide. They're working together with Israel's enemies to carry out a new Holocaust against Israel. They are proponents of the new genocide and the new Holocaust because the Arab Muslim Nazis who surround Israel promised to push the Jews into the sea and exterminate Israel. And these people work with those Nazis. But that's not anti-Semitism. But if you criticize the ultimate Jewish Nazi, George Soros, then you're accused of anti-Semitism. And Fox News will fire people who have good-rated shows, like Glenn Beck. He was fired because he criticized George Soros on his show. This is what we're coming to in this country. This is what we're coming to. The only Jews that will be acceptable are Jewish traitors who are working to destroy their own people. The only whites who will be acceptable are white traitors. Did you see the latest racial programs they have in college campuses where white people have to apologize for being white and humiliate themselves and say how ashamed they are to be white? And how ashamed they are of their white privilege and their white skin and their white, and how wonderful it is to be black. Everything's upside down. Black has become beautiful and white has become ugly, which is the opposite of the truth, by the way. Tough if you don't like that I'm saying that. Everything is turned upside down. And the whole world is turned upside down. Woe unto those who call light darkness and darkness light, good evil and evil good. The prophets, Yeshayahu, Isaiah, Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, Yechezkel, all of the prophets in the Bible, all the Nevi'im warned us that this was coming, and it would come when the Jews returned to Israel, this was coming. All of this is prophesied thousands of years ago, this is prophesied. I mean, this is playing out exactly as the Bible said it would. Everything is upside down. There is no logic. There is no common sense. There is no sanity. And no one is standing up to speak the truth. There is no movement or force to stand against this. No, nothing. There's nobody you can join with to really stand against, because the people you join with are just as bad. And so we're left with a holding action on election day, where we have to support Donald Trump. It is essential that you get out and vote for Donald Trump in order to defeat Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And let me say, I am pessimistic about November 3rd, about the election. I think Trump is going to lose. I've said that in other videos. I know that the vast majority of people watch the programs that we do on, that JTF does, disagree with me. They say, no, he's going to win. Yes, the polls, but the polls in 2016 were wrong. These are fake polls. It's all fake. He's going to win. He's going to win easily. I know that's how you think. And I hope you're right. And I hope I'm wrong. For the sake of Israel, for the sake of America, for the sake of the world, I hope you're right and I hope I'm wrong. But I don't think so. I don't think the polls are fake. I think the media and the establishment have succeeded in convincing Americans that Donald Trump is nuts, unstable, an ineffective leader, and that the country's out of control. I think they've convinced the American people of that, and I think they've convinced the American people that, that there has to be a change. And that Americans are not comfortable with Joe Biden. They know that he's senile. They know he's an old fuddy-duddy. They know that he's incapable, that he's not a capable leader. They see that. They know that. I don't think they're confident in his leadership ability, but they have been convinced by the media that he's better than Trump, which, of course, is a lie. He's not better than Trump. He's a lot worse. A lot worse. So, what I did on this program this week is try to convince you and try to make the case for Trump from someone who doesn't even like Trump. You see, you get the pro-Trump view from all the rah-rah-rah Fox News people and others who are part of that group that Trump spoke about when he ran for president 4 years ago, where he said that he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and it wouldn't affect any of his supporters. Among the Trumpsters, that's true. No matter what he does, you'll support him. You love him no matter what he does. Most Americans are not in your camp. Sorry, but most Americans are not in your camp. And so I'm speaking now also, and there's a need for this. I'm speaking to those people who realize that Trump is not smart and not talented and not a good leader, but that the other side is so extreme and so bad and so wrong and so disastrous on the issues that we have to do everything we can to re-elect Trump. That's what this program is directed toward. Those voters who don't like Biden and don't like Trump, but they don't know which one is worse, which one is better, or maybe they shouldn't vote at all, you should vote. You should vote for Trump because of the consequences of a Biden-Harris victory. And I haven't gone into Kamala Harris and her history. I mean, we've done other videos on that. Oh, what a catastrophe. What a catastrophe. And Vice President Pence in the debate, I mean, he was so anxious to say more black people are arrested. He had to try to get black votes and try to defend. What a stupid thing to say. Even though he's not a bad debater, Pence, but the politically correct crap has infected everybody. He should have said, the number of rapes in San Francisco went through the ceiling when you were District Attorney Kamala Harris and when you were Attorney General. Rape and murder and burglaries and violent crime all went up drastically every year that you were a prosecutor in San Francisco and every year that you were Attorney General of the state of California. Your record is a catastrophe. If people want to be safe, if they want their families to be safe, they cannot vote for you because you will lead to catastrophe. That's what he should have said in the debate. But that would have turned off black voters. They're not voting for you anyway. Once upon a time, by the way, we had politicians, like Richard Nixon had the Southern Strategy, where he openly said things that he knew would antagonize black voters, but that got him enough white voters to get elected because he saw that he wasn't going to get the black vote anyway. Ronald Reagan also saw that. When Ronald Reagan ran against affirmative action and ran against these other issues and the welfare moms and the welfare hotels, those are the type of speeches he made. He knew that he was writing off 90% of the black vote, but he knew that he wasn't going to get it anyway. Those are the ones who win. Those are the ones who won. That's the only chance we have for winning, is to understand whom we can get and whom you can't get. In the meantime, we are bringing the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, to the Jews of Israel with our Hebrew videos. We have seven Hebrew videos now that are being advertised. Thousands of Israeli Jews see those videos. And the truth that you see, of course, there we're just speaking about Israeli issues, but the truth that the type of truth you hear from us on these broadcasts, the Israelis are getting that in these videos. It's the only place where they're really getting unvarnished truth. That's very important. And that's what you're supporting when you support JTF. Unvarnished truth. I know that a lot of things that we say are unpopular. And I know that a lot of people can't stand me on both sides of the aisle. I know that. And believe me, I want to be popular. I want everybody to love me. I want everybody to support this organization and this movement. Everybody. I want us to be the most popular movement in the world. But never at the expense of our principles. And so we have to pay a price when we decide that we're going to tell the truth. And that is what we're going to do. And it is worth it that somebody out there, at least, will tell the truth. That's what JTF is here for. And as we say every week, as we end off every week, remember, though, one other thing that Nevi'ei HaTanakh, that the prophets of the Bible promise us. Everything they promise is coming true. Everything. One other thing that they promise us is that in the end, the good guys are going to win. Something's going to happen. The people of Israel are going to be awakened. And when the Jewish people are awakened, that will lead to an awakening throughout the world. But that will happen. That day will eventually come. We, in the meantime, are going through a period of darkness, and we have to be a light in the darkness to pave the way for when the final victory comes. When the final victory comes, it'll be eternal. We're promised that. That's what God promises. And God is not a politician. God doesn't make promises, campaign promises, and then breaks his word. God always keeps his word. And so, someday the good guys are going to win, but in the meantime, we've got to do everything we can to try to bring the truth to people, to try to pave the way for when the time comes when people finally do wake up, which, again, someday will happen. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.